everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. We are so excited today to be here to talk about another weekend of Hallmark Christmas movies that we have been so lucky to have. So I have a very special guest today. We have a friend of the show. Megan Weyerbacher is here for the podcast. And thanks so much, Megan, for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, no problem. It's fine.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got first watching Hallmark movies?
Okay, well, the thing is I've always been a fan of Hallmark movies. Like, I actually, when I first joined Twitter as a writer, my bio actually had, like, a hashtag in there. Like, I want to write, you know, scripts. I want to write movies, you know. So it's just always been a dream to actually work with Hallmark, but that's kind of something I don't actually talk about in my real life. I keep it and work behind the scenes. So when you reached out, I was like, oh my goodness. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in a conservative home, you know, and we just weren't really allowed to watch a lot of things anyways, but I never was drawn to super like scary, you know, all the other genres. Like, my favorite has always been heartwarming and romances, just the things that you watch that make you feel better after you watch them, you know. But I'm actually an author of 3 books. Those are romances. And I'm a songwriter. I've been writing songs since I was very young, but I never really did anything with them. And then I finally just broke through the self-doubt years ago and bought a guitar, and I taught myself what I know now. And I finally joined a music academy. So Seth Mosley, I don't know if you've heard of him, but I'm actually in his Full Circle Music Academy. So that's been really new for me, honestly. It's the beginning of like stepping out of my comfort zone and starting to share. So I just didn't realize how nervous I was about sharing my own work. But that's where I'm at. I'm trying to write songs. I have one finished one under my belt, hundreds of pieces of songs. Learning how to work with people is a new thing. And I've got those 3 romances out, and I've got a free prequel out to the first one, and I'm working on the family sagas now. So I'm so excited, and you know,
That's great. Yeah. Let's start talking about these movies. So the first one we had is Homecoming for the Holidays, and this stars Laura Osnes and Stephen Huszar. And it's country singer Charlotte is home for the holidays, and brother Ryan's fellow ex-soldier Matt is in town. Writing her new album, Charlotte works with Matt to build a house for a friend in town. And so basically, like, this movie, she had had a little kind of fling, I guess, with the friend of her brother before they were going out overseas. But they didn't really go anywhere because obviously he's going to be going overseas. And so she finds out her brother is coming back, so she goes home for the holidays, and she finds out that they're doing this Operation Homefront concert, and so she starts getting involved in that. She is also a country singer, and there's this guy named Taylor, who is a fellow country star, I guess, with her, and there's all this gossip about, are they a couple or whatever. And she runs into the friend of her brother, and also her brother's trying to decide whether he should re-enlist or not. And so there's all this kind of stuff going on. What are your overall thoughts on this one?
This honestly was my favorite. That's why when I did the poll, I was like really shocked. I'm like, oh wow, this wasn't a favorite of the people who did the Twitter poll anyways. I loved it, but my husband is a veteran, you know. We were in the military for 10 years, so I loved it. I thought it was so well made, so believable. I mean, I was just blown away at these movies, because sometimes you watch movies and you're like, well, that's definitely could never happen, you know. But I love this. I wrote down quotes that were said.
All right. Good.
I loved it so much. It was probably my favorite. I actually wrote that down just in case you asked me that. This was my favorite one.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I was pretty excited for this because we'd had Laura and Stephen both on the podcast. So, you know, that definitely helped increase my enthusiasm to hear their experiences and everything. And I thought that Laura was a lot better in this than she was in the summer movie, The Key of Love.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was a lot better in this. Just, I don't know, more natural. And I thought the story was better. And I think that her and Stephen had nice chemistry. I think it worked, the two of them. Her brother, he left overseas before she became a sort of, I guess, famous for country singing. And then they both come back. The brother wants to re-enlist, but the dad thinks he's taking over the family business. How did you feel that whole plot was handled with her brother?
It honestly reminded me of my own husband, because he didn't have a business opportunity, but there was other opportunities, and that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, for the family. It's hard for the spouse whenever you have certain expectations, whether they be unrealistic or not, they're there, you know. And I think whenever they found out, I was sort of surprised that that they weren't more emotional, but it's, you know, it didn't surprise me in the sense that, you know, it's Hallmark, and I know they don't like to bring too much sadness into it, you know, that there needs to be like a balance.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it made sense, because you don't want your child to be in danger. And so, like, the parents, as opposed to some of these kind of concerns, it feels a little bit less authentic. Like, the parents want them to be have some specific career, or don't want them to become a singer or become a, you know, an actor or something like that. Like that. Whereas this, it obviously you wouldn't want your child to be in danger. Plus, then they have this family company, and the dad, obviously, he hurt his back and he's not able to do the same things that he was once able to do. And so, I don't know, it made sense to me that they would have the concerns that they had.
Yeah. And I liked that they had him be in the military, you know, previously, because he was able to understand.
Right. Yeah.
If that wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't have had the oomph. Like, that was, you know, cause I said that they didn't have as much sadness, but really he cried. He did tear up. Actually, it was more than once. So I don't really know why I said that. Maybe it was just the feeling that I had at the moment. And I forgot about that. But, I thought they did it very well.
Yeah. And I liked the scene with her, with the mom, saying that the holidays are bittersweet because, you know, she gets to see them, but then misses them throughout the rest of the year and worries about them. And I thought that was a nice scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the cookie baking scene was really fun in this
movie. Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
That was super great. Yeah. I loved that in this movie, they were very slow to flirt, because I like it when it moves slow. It actually annoys me when books or movies rush through, because just, you don't have that build, you know, that tension that keeps in the game. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I love the white knuckle thing.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a big fan of the fact that there was that whole scene with the Stevens character asks her brother for permission to date her. his sister. Like, I thought that was a little bit weird. That was a little awkward.
I, from like a movie watcher's perspective, I can see that. And then from like the conservative author's view, like I'm always trying to make my writing more, not old timey, but have that classy feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the older generation too, like appreciates that. I mean, it's not as modern, but you know.
Well, I mean, I just feel like these are adults. We don't need to do that. Like, these aren't, it's not, they're not young at all. And so it was, that wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, there's this concert, the Operation Homefront concert. And I thought that the high school girl singing Best Christmas We Could Have Imagined, that was really sweet.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that Laura's character was Charlotte, I guess, the name of this. She did have, I think, chemistry with the kids and felt like an actual CERT teacher.
Yeah, I thought they did really good on that.
That was good. And you get Laura singing Oh Christmas Tree. And then this is when Taylor shows up and Steven's character is immediately very jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor needs Charlotte to be in this Christmas concert with him, and it's a great opportunity for her. And so, you know, that's where the conflict comes in. And did you like that conflict between Taylor, Matt, and Charlotte?
I did. I'm a fan of the triangle thing, especially when it's not really a triangle, because when it is, you can have more tension and drama. So I think it was done really well, because it looked, you know, one way from Matt's point of view, of course, but it wasn't like this, her, you know, Hallmark isn't going to do that. And that's good. They weren't going to have her trying to, you know, oh, I'm over here and I'm over here. So it just looks one way. And that's where that mystery comes in, that tension or whatever. And I thought it was done really well. I feel like Taylor's personality annoyed me a little bit for some reason.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know why, if it was just because he was a little bit on the immature side. That could be, but maybe, you know, but he was going through family stuff, you know, and so there's always something in the person. There's a root cause, usually, of what's making them have that, whatever's annoying you about them, you know, that stands out. So that he came around and, you know, took her advice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't really that much of a love triangle, which I kind of appreciate. Yeah, I liked the fact that when Steven's character sees Taylor and Charlotte, just like, they're not really holding hands, but she kind of places her hand on top of his, just giving him like some encouragement, because his family is not very supportive of his career.
Right.
And so he's kind of jealous of what Charlotte has. And but Steven's character, he says that he doesn't like freak out like some people would in these kind of movies. He just says, we're just two people getting to know each other, and I think we should trust each other. And I thought that was kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And then we have the whole subplot of this soldier with some, I think, clearly some PTSD type problems, and him getting this service dog, which I thought was a really nice little subplot.
Yeah, that was actually one of my favorite surprises about the movie, was that they put that in there, because, I mean, I could see where that could have been done even without it, and the movie still would have been great. But to have this guy and put that in there, it just meant a lot. We went through the same thing, you know, so the message can go a long way, putting that hope in there, you know?
Yeah. I like the whole scene where he gets her number. Usually they don't do that in Hallmark movies. They kind of skip over.
Mm-hmm.
But the banter between the two of them.
I loved the connection there a lot. And when he turned to look back and was like, ah, my gosh.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
And then there you have these reindeer games, which were pretty fun. And she tells her brother, she says, I'm always on your side. I don't know, do you have any siblings? Could you relate to that?
I do. I actually have a note here that I love. I thought the brother-sister relationship was wonderful. Playful, real. Uh-huh. It really was. I mean, they hit the nail on the head for me anyway. Mm-hmm. I know not everybody's just like that, you know, but I understand that, and it resonated with me. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too. It was really cute, and there were just like lots of little flirty moments in this movie that I enjoyed between Steven's character and Laura's character, and then just nice moments between the family. And it wasn't one of those things that you either have to come home, we're going to guilt you super bad by coming home for Christmas. This was like people that were treating everybody like adults, which I appreciated. I also thought it was interesting the scene where the paparazzi are coming and he wants to like slug them. He wants to, you know, whatever. And she is just like, okay, let me answer one question from you. Here's like three things we won't talk about, and you can, you know, get your thing. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take on the whole, we've had so many of these movies about famous people and whatever. And I thought that was cool. That was well done.
I actually was like kind of taken aback. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. But it makes sense. I mean, a lot of guys would be that way, especially military guys, you know, a little more grit about them. I thought that was super fun.
Yeah. It was a good scene, I think, between the two of them. And then we have a near kiss, but Taylor interrupts them. I think that I think Steven and Laura, like I said, did have nice chemistry, and so it worked for me. And then we have this they're building this house, basically like Habitat for Humanity house. So Laura decides that she wants to do a concert at the key ceremony for the house. And I think they could have used the house building felt kind of a little bit like an afterthought. And then they could have used that a little bit more. They decide that they're going to have a concert, but these people with Taylor and the executive really want to have her in this Christmas concert. She's like, I don't want to leave my family and everything that's going on here. Then they decide that they're going to do it as an online broadcast, which seems like they almost never acknowledge in these movies that, oh, we could do it online. So that was a little different. And the producer tells Taylor to try to get Charlotte to be in this duet. There's a moment where they basically like hug goodbye, and the producer, one of the journalists or whatever, anyway, it gets they get a photo of it, and so that's, you know, it's going to start obviously the main conflict of the story. Cause then when Steven's character sees it, obviously he's upset by it. But I kind of liked the fact that the scene between them, when he's a little bit upset, she's the one who just goes for it and gives and kisses him. And that was pretty early in, it wasn't in the last 30 seconds, but I thought the whole scene where she just goes for it was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. She just says, I wanted you to know where I stood. It was good.
Yeah.
And when he sees the photo, he says he believes her and he doesn't really doubt her in that way, but he's just not sure that they can make it work. And he says, before we get hurt, we just need to face reality.
Yeah.
So, and I did think it was so cute. He gives her forehead kiss. He kisses her forehead. That was cute.
Good forehead kiss.
Yeah. It was fun.
I like never get old, and it's like, okay, writing it is different. It's like, how do you describe that differently? But you know, I thought it was great. I was annoyed, because I'm always annoyed when the tension comes in. I'm like, oh, I love, it's a love-hate relationship, of course, you know, you're like, no.
Yeah,
but you know, there had to be something to,
right,
you know, to go apart, and it made sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like this is too much.
And there was a really nice scene once the reveal comes out that he is going to be re-enlisting. She's talking to her mom, and her mom says, it's not up to you to stop us from worrying. I thought that was a nice moment. That was good.
Yeah.
And that actress.
I love the power quotes in these movies.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Then we finally get up to the big concert, and everything basically goes well. And then he gives back his lucky guitar pick to her, and they get together, and everything's happy at the end. So I thought this was a really cute little movie. I enjoyed it. I think that it was nice to just have characters who were all acting like grown-ups. There's nobody who was immature or frustrating or over the top or anything like that. So I thought it was a real sweet little movie. So how many crowns out of five would you give this one?
I would give it... Can you do half crown?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would do a 4.5 because I always feel like there's always room to grow. But I really like this one. I actually watched it first out of all of them, and that was the gut feeling I had at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd give this one 3.75. I did really enjoy it, and I don't know how, like, it's just not one of my, like, favorites of the season, but I did really think it was cute. So, very well done. All right, so let's talk next about our Christmas love story. And so this is our Hallmark Hall of Fame. But this one was interesting. I think that there's a very easy criticism of this movie. And I think that some people will say, oh, it's a very first world problem movie. And I think that they're not wrong. That is a valid criticism. But I thought everything else was so strong. That didn't bother me too much, but I totally get it because it's all about, you know, these people, they're going to private schools and fancy parties and, and, you know, big, like, fancy plays and live in New York City. And so some of it was a little, I don't know, it's a little different than a typical Hallmark movie. Like, typically they're a little more homespun, I feel like, than this.
Yeah. At first I thought that too. Her personality really hooked me once I got in there. I think that's what, because at first I was like, it definitely wasn't as homey. It was definitely a little unrelatable, at least to me. You know, we live in the country, so.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I just want to say, a Christmas love story, can we be more generic in our names? I mean, come on. This is a Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, this year we had a winter love story. We had a summer romance, and then we're having a Christmas love story. Like, can we try a little harder with our names? I think, I mean, why not call this something to do with the choir?
That would have actually been really good and not taken away. I understand, like, a lot of work is trying to keep those main words in there for, meta reasons, for being able to type, stuff. You know, find it quickly to look it up, but it does take away from a place where you can have a really good hook, you know.
Right. So this stars Kristen Chenoweth, Scott Wolf. The summary is that Kristen Chenoweth is a youth choir director who needs to write a big song for a Christmas Eve show, but is distracted when a boy with a golden voice joins her choir, which comes as a surprise to his widowed father. So what were your overall thoughts on this movie?
I, at first, like I said, I just didn't know that I didn't think I was going to like it because I thought, oh, they're a little bit older, not old, you know, but, you know, I was like, I don't know about this. And I wasn't sure I was going to like the characters. The more I stuck it out, I was like, oh, okay. You know, you got to know them, you got to see this other side. And even her funny one, when she jumped up on the, you know, piano chair trying to inspire the songwriting, you know, I thought, ah, it's so true. You know, I really liked it. The ending did take me off. It caught me off guard. I remember thinking, they're not going to go there with that, are they? You know, I remember thinking for a minute, wait a minute. Oh my gosh. And then it happened. And I was like, oh, and I actually did cry. I cried on this one. I had real tears. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this one, I felt like the music really elevated this movie a lot. And I thought that it ended up having, I was worried at first because I could tell where it was going. As soon as they mentioned that she'd given a baby up, I was like, oh no, this is going to be terrible. But to my surprise, I actually thought they handled that well. And I was so sure it was going to be grown worthy, and then it actually wasn't. It was handled very maturely, and there wasn't any kind of like, how could you lie to me, or you know, or how could you do that, or it was all very sweet and handled very nicely, I thought. And so between the music and the fact that I love Kristen Chenoweth, she's one of my favorites, that I thought it actually worked out quite nicely. It was a nice little movie. And so it turns out she's a choir director for this, basically it seemed like a private school. She had worked on Broadway for many years, and she had written and starred in a very popular Broadway play or musical. And so she had kind of never been able to repeat that kind of success again. And so she was sort of a little bit of a one-hit wonder, but she still had a career and everything kind of like that. And what did you think, you being into music, what did you think of her as a choir director? Do you think she did a good job?
Yeah. A lot of probably the details of that kind of career weren't, they didn't delve into the nitty gritty. Showing her in front of the kids and just her attitude, because when you're doing something like that, your attitude makes all the difference. I thought that her attitude, that career, guiding them, leading them, was spot on. And the music was wonderful, and the fact that, her and, I can't remember the character's name, but the boy,
Danny.
They both battled with the self-doubt thing. I just thought that was a nice message to put in there. I really love it. My notes for this movie was, I love the message in this, because they both did that and then ended up, she ended up being his mom. And at the end, when they were looked at each other, when they were singing at the very end, it was just such a nice touch.
Cause
brought it together like a bow,
Yeah. So as part of her Christmas concert, they always have a new song, and she usually has someone else do it, but the writer bails on her. So all of a sudden she has to do it. And she's really, really struggling. And I'm sure that's something that you could relate to as you write songs and other things.
Yeah, it's, I've never been able to come up with anything by just sitting and being frustrated. You just can't. You either have to do something, or something will come out of maybe something dramatic that happens, or just by being completely silly, like how she kind of got her creative juices flowing. But I totally got that when she was.
Yeah. So this new kid comes in named Danny, and he's got the golden voice, and she's just really impressed. And it turns out Danny has a dad named Greg, and his dad is a widower. And we love our hot widowers in Hallmark movies. And what did you think of their meet cute in the Uber?
Yeah, I loved that. It caught me off guard. I always love being caught off guard. I didn't think about it. I guess I was so honed in. I wasn't in that mode of, oh, look what's going to happen. I just, oh my gosh. Oh, this is what happens in the big bags,
Yeah. It was pretty cute.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah. It was good. It was sort of weird though. I thought the whole introduction of the fact that he is keeping everything the same as the way that his wife decorated, even to the point of his office, like that was a little, why is his wife decorating what? And then his assistant is just like plastering his office with decor. And I don't know, that was all kind of funny.
I loved her character though. I loved her. I was like, I want more of this. I want more of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he talked about the cookies, like getting it down to the nitty gritty, I was like, I don't know though if he would go that far, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
He really wanted to keep the tradition, but yeah, that was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he finds out that the son is in the choir and he is not a fan of this. They had a plan, that his son was going to go to business school, I guess. And that's the plan. And so doesn't have time to be in the choir. I wasn't the hugest fan of this conflict. I feel like, as opposed to the previous movie that we talked about, where the parents I thought were a little more reasonable. I mean, I just can't imagine not allowing your kid to be in the choir, it's not going to derail him being in a Christmas choir his entire life. I don't know. That was a little much for me, but you basically have her deciding she is just determined to have this kid in the choir. And so she goes all the way up to Connecticut because he's not answering his phone. And what do you think? Was that a little stalkerish for you? Or
it reminds me of how I make some of my characters and then I get very harsh feedback because it's not believable. And you're like, but I got to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely wasn't as believable. She went up there though. And it
yes,
turned out
she
good,
did.
You know?
Yes, she did.
You're like, yeah, you wouldn't do that in real life. Come on.
it was a little unbelievable, but Kenneth is just so cute that
you couldn't be upset at it, really. It was just like okay
yeah. And she ends up staying over because she gets stuck in the storm, and they end up picking out a Christmas tree together, making cookies. So it works out very well.
Yeah, I love the Snowden tropes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Favorite.
And she's like,
yes.
Yeah, and she sings "We Wish You Merry Christmas," mm-hmm. And then they go out to the market, and things get chummy pretty quick with between this guy Greg and Kristen Chenoweth's character.
Yeah.
And so then she sings a song called Lifting Up Your Voice. And I thought that the music really elevated it. It made it feel really Christmassy, first of all. And also, she's just a great singer. So there you go. That's all you need to make it better. And then they go see, I think it's basically the Rockettes, kind of. They go to this concert. And then there's Greg's Christmas party. They go to his office party, and he is Santa, and she ends up being Mrs. Claus, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I liked getting to see that side of him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he went from the hardened, like, not quite over his wife, and it slowly, you know, and it felt like at the end it picked up. It just went, you know, and you saw him come alive, like, really fast. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And then her sister or her friend, that other lady with the blonde hair, she was fun. I liked her.
I think it was her sister.
It was her sister. Yeah. Okay. She was cute. I liked her. And I liked how she's kind of like, well, I have to go, you know, have a nice time together, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was hilarious and very Southern. Yeah. Like, they had her character spot on. I was like, oh yeah.
She was funny. Yeah. And then they go out and they have kind of a nice long talk, and that's when she tells him that she gave up a child for adoption. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, oh, Danny's gonna be her kid. We know that. That's and I was thinking, this is gonna be terrible. But because that could have been just so grown worthy. But the very next scene, Danny and Catherine have this talk, and that he came to the choir to see her, to find her. And it actually, I thought, was handled really well, the whole conversation. Like, there was no sense of sort of outrage or anger. It was just like a really sweet little moment between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they could have did that any better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And
it's hard to write something serious, but very light, you know?
Yes. And she says, I think his mom's name was Megan, I think, that she'll always be your mother, but that she's so happy that he, you know, had a great family. And it was just handled very respectfully. There was no sense of outrage. And it was just... they did a very good job with that.
Yeah.
It was good.
She said, but can we be friends?
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow. You know,
yeah. It was good. And then then he tells his dad, and also there was no sense of like outrage or betrayal or anything like that. And I think that's why it worked for me. It was just, made it feel way more human instead of some like, I don't know, sort of scandal. Like I was expecting they were going to do. It was all just kind of like, okay, we can work this out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were most concerned about Danny. And yeah, I was glad too that they didn't make him too much of sort of the overbearing parent. Like, yes, he wanted him at the beginning, didn't want him to be in the choir, but for the most part, he just wanted his son to be happy and was just concerned about the goals that they had set and, you know, making sure that he fulfilled his goals. But like I said, the children's choir I thought was very excellent throughout the whole movie. And they did a very good job with that. And then you have Catherine and Danny singing at the concert, their song. Did you like their song?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. And I loved his character.
I loved all of it. And so then Kristen Chenoweth's character and Greg, they have a really nice conversation at the end where she basically thanks him for raising Danny, and he invites her to spend Christmas with them, and they end up singing. It was cute. I thought it ended all really nice, and, you know, sort of like this big, big group hug thing. Yeah. And it was a sweet movie. Yeah. So how many crowns would you give this one, Our Christmas Love Story?
I'm going to give it the same, because I just love the balance in the characters. There was, mm-hmm. you know, the funny, but there were, you know, the soft-hearted boy and, you know, the funny characters from The Office, or even, you know, the guy that helped her assistant, the guy that played, you know, I love the characters so much. So,
mm-hmm. good. Yeah. So 4.5 from you. I'm going to give this one a 4. I really liked it. I almost in spite of itself. I thought it just the music elevated it. I thought it ended up handling things with some degree of nuance. So yeah, I give this one a 4 out of 5. All right. Then we have Christmas at Dollywood, and this stars Danica McKellar and Niall Mader and a little bit of Dolly Parton, and written by our friend Nina Weinman. And in this film, Rachel Lewis, a single mom and award-winning Broadway producer, learns investors have mismanaged her latest theatrical holiday extravaganza into bankruptcy, forcing the show to close before it even opens. Dismayed, Rachel's friend calls from Tennessee to tell her about an opportunity to produce a show for the 20th anniversary of the Smoky Mountain Christmas Festival at Dollywood. The only caveat, Rachel will have to work with Luke Hackman, a Dollywood's entertainment director who sees the holiday show as a stepping stone to become the park's new general manager. As the pair make compromises to please their boss, Rachel and Luke realize love can come in the most of unexpected places. So what were your overall thoughts of this one with Christmas at Dollywood?
I loved it for the location. I loved the characters. I thought they were great actors and actresses.
Uh-huh.
And I love the relationship, the maturity, and just, you know, the trope in there, the extra thing they threw at the end, which I won't say because we're not talking about that yet, but I loved it all.
Yeah. So this one for me, I thought this one was fine. It wasn't my favorite, but I thought that it was perfectly pleasant and enjoyable. I think the party planning movies are not my favorite.
They can
be kind of boring for me. But I thought that the banter between the two of them was well done, and so that kind of kept me engaged. And it, just a new setting, a new place, I thought it helped. I do wish that we had more Dolly. I wish we had somehow managed to get even one more scene. I think would have made me a little, because it takes forever for us to even see her. That was a little disappointing.
They definitely dragged that one out.
Yeah. And so basically Danica plays this event planner named Rachel, and it was fun to see a little bit of Sarah Strange as her boss at the very beginning. And her boss is basically like, take the holidays off. This thing that we were going to do, it hasn't really worked out. And so she decides, instead of taking the time off, to go and interview for this job at Dollywood. And obviously, I mean, in reality, they're going to be planning the Christmas stuff at Dollywood months and months and months in advance.
Yeah.
Supposedly she has to get this all together in like a week.
Yeah. A little bit unbelievable, but you're like, okay, we're running with it.
Yeah. But I was looking into it, and Evidently, they really do have this light parade at Dollywood, and it's something they're really well known for. And it looked beautiful at Christmas. It's kind of similar to the at Disneyland. They have a similar light parade, and the name has just flown my mind. But anyway, they really do put on this big celebration. I could have seen more of Dollywood too. I think that would have been fun to have seen more of the park. But yeah, it was nice to have just something a little bit different as far as your setting with this. And it turns out she has family near Dollywood. So her parents are there. And so she's basically going back home.
Yeah. What'd you think about their decorations?
Yeah.
Got the one wreath guy, and then they're like.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of their meet cute, is she's looking at these decorations. She's like, what is going on here? Why is this happening? And and that was pretty
not
funny.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
That line.
Yeah, and he is a very like, we got to keep it simple. We got to streamline it. What did you think of the fact that she is just like, I've got an idea. I've got an idea. I've got an idea.
She did repeat herself. I feel like the what they said was repeated. By probably about the third, it might have been the fourth, probably the third time, like, wait, you just said that. Which, I mean, we know she has ideas, but yeah, his joking back with her about it. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I think that's what you want in an event planner, is somebody who has a bunch of ideas and isn't just going to make something boring, but then you also, when you only have a week to plan something, you kind of need to get it done a little bit, I think. It was pretty cute. It felt very Danica to me. Mm-hmm. In her role.
I like the fact that they were in the office. They ended up in the office at the beginning. That's what hooked me, because at first I was like, oh, it's kind of like you. You know, I can handle like the event planning. You know, you're like, okay, well, it's going to be office focused. You know, whenever I thought, like you said, it was going to be have more of Dollywood. So when it started off with them both in there at the same time working together, I thought, okay, so maybe there's going to be more attention than what I would see. But, you know, they were still pretty lighthearted in it. You know, it wasn't dramatic. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought they had, it's one of those enemies to friends tropes, and they're forced to work together. And I don't know, all this stuff could have been very boring, but I don't know. I just thought the dialogue was snappy enough, and the two leads were charming enough that it made it work. Whereas like last year with the Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe movie, like that movie was so boring to me. Like it was just like planning this party, and there was nothing. I don't know. There was just nothing there for me.
Yeah.
In the movie. So I liked this one much better than that. And so he wants to just do something simple with the 30th anniversary of the park. And so they have this conflict, and he's like, no more new ideas. Like just stop. And it turns out that she has always wanted to be a children's book author, but it felt like too impractical too. And I could relate to this, first of all, because my sister is a children's book author. She's written four books. So if you want to check out Megan Wagner Lloyd, and it was a long process for her becoming, a published author. But I can also relate to it because, in becoming a film critic, I always thought that would be the coolest job ever, but it's not that I told myself I couldn't do it. I didn't even sort of acknowledge it as an option. It just seemed like something impossible. But then just kept working at it and working at it, working at it. And then when I got put on Rotten Tomatoes, it was all just kind of like, well, maybe I could actually do this. Maybe that's a possibility. And I still have a long way to go, but I don't know. I think there's something to it that you take the more practical approach, and it's not because you don't believe you couldn't do it. You don't even really see it as an option. Mm-hmm. It does, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. Completely here. I apply for 10 jobs before I would think of, oh, I'm just going to try doing this thing on the side when I'm not working anyway, or whatever. 'Cause, yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's like, oh, okay. I guess maybe this is worth a shot. And so that was interesting. We find out about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which I actually did know about. It's where she gets books at discounted prices from, or as donations, from the different publishing companies and things, and provides books for libraries all over the country. And that's amazing. She's amazing.
Yes, my own kids received those. We had a thing in Kentucky. If you were under 5, you got a free book a month.
I mean, yeah,
it's wild.
That's amazing. I mean, we both agree. Dolly's the best.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
She's so great.
She is, for all that is good.
Yeah. I mean, she's, a lot of people don't realize what a great songwriter Dolly is, that she's not just a singer, but, you know, just written so many beautiful songs. Like, of course, I Will Always Love You. She wrote Jolene, so many classic Dolly songs. And yeah, and then she obviously has Dollywood. She has a ton of different projects. And then this Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. She's just a really great person. They have a whole montage. Did you like the Yule log making montage?
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah,
and it made me smile, because the very first time that we had Nina on the podcast, she talked about finding out about the Yule log, and because Danica's mom makes Yule logs every year. It's like a thing in her family.
Oh.
And so I think that's part of the reason why they brought it on. And I remember Nina saying in the episode of the podcast, she's like, this Jew wants to try a Yule log.
I think it's great.
And so I was like, she finally got to try her Yule log. That was funny to me. And I thought it was something different than cookie baking. So that was nice.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved that, you know, they all did it together. They had a little girl, and she's like,
"Yeah,
I don't know what you're trying to do," you know. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, and so I like that. And we did get, they have a little scene where they go line dancing, and then they end up slow dancing, and we find out that Rachel had been a widow. And that she has some, you know, issues that way as far as her confidence. And Luke says that she should go and be a writer. And that's when we get Hard Candy Christmas, which is a great song from Dolly. I liked that. Then she reads her old journal from when she was a little girl and starts to get kind of inspired about her old dreams and everything. But then it starts to get a little messy, I would say, with Luke getting this offer from a rival theme park, and then Rachel gets an offer from her boss to become a partner in the party planning company. And then that's when we finally get to see Dolly. So it took us a long time. And I could have definitely, like I said, used a couple more scenes with Dolly. More Dolly, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Skylight Frames. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. That's $10 off. You enter code Hallmark. That's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. Promo code Hallmark. And what's really cool about Skylight Frame is we've seen a lot of these digital frames over the years. And what's nice about this is that you can add pictures so easily. It's a completely digital experience. And so people can just email a photo directly to the frame. So you don't even need to be connected in any kind of way. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise photo from a relative, a friend, or whatever who has the email could pop up. And that would be such a fun time, especially if you have somebody in your life who isn't on Instagram, who isn't as social media savvy, then I think this would make it an extra special gift. I'm definitely giving one to a relative in this Christmas. So I'm excited for that. And it looks really nice. It's not like bulky, like some of these digital frames that I've seen over the years. This one is a 10-inch touchscreen, really easy to use, satisfaction guarantee. You can get a full refund if you're not satisfied. So definitely check out Skylight Frame. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. Go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. That's $10 off Skylight Frame. Enter code Hallmark, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code Hallmark. Because Dolly's actually a pretty decent actress too. I mean, of course.
I love her. She's funny.
Yes. I mean, of course, she was in Steel Magnolias. She was in 9 to 5. Of course, we know her from there. I even have, I like her in Straight Talk. So I love Dolly. And then she finally gets to meet Rachel and basically kind of thanks her for her work on the party. And we didn't get any actual Dolly singing though in the movie. Was that disappointing for you?
I really thought she was going to when she was standing in front of those guys. And I was like, where are you going?
Yeah.
It did surprise me a little bit. I thought they were going to have her sing on there.
Yeah. I did too. And who knows, maybe the problem was is that because you have to go and record all of that separately when you sing in a movie in the studios and everything. Maybe she just couldn't get that all done in the time of filming this movie. But that would have been really nice if we'd gotten Dolly singing. But
maybe next year, wink wink.
Yeah, right. But then we get the Parade of Many Colors. And there's like a few glitches, but I thought that whole thing was beautiful with the tree and the way that it was all, the way that it all moved kind of like a wave, the lights. It was really cool. It definitely made me, I looked up the Parade of Many Colors and it looked really cool. Then Rachel and Dolly have this conversation where, you know, she's sort of struggling. Dolly kind of gives her encouragement and that was a nice moment, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And so she decides that she's not going to take the job from her boss, that she's going to stay in Tennessee, and she's going to work on her books. And then Luke gets the offer to be the general manager. So they have their kind of happy ending. And so she's not going to be in evil New York City any longer. And Dolly says, now that is what I call a happy ending, which was cute. And then you see 1 year later, her children's book is part of Dolly's imagination library. So that was really cute. So, how many crowns did you give this one?
I think I'm going to give it the same because I would have liked it better if it had more Dolly, more of the park, and I can't give it less. I'm going with 4.5.
Oh, look at that. Okay. I'm going to give this one 3.5. I enjoyed it. I thought it was sweet. I could have used definitely more Dolly. The party planning, even though I thought this one was pretty well done, still isn't my favorite. But I did think that they executed it well. And I like Danica and Niall together. And so, I'm going to give it 3.5. I really liked the light parade as well. That was really cool. So that is what I give Christmas with Dolly with. All right. One more left from this weekend. It's called Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas. What did you think of the Time for You to Come Home for Christmas from last year?
I actually did not see that one.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, I didn't. And I kind of ran out of time. I wanted to go back and watch that.
So it's not the best, but it's not the worst either. It was actually on a weekend where I didn't like any of the movies. I was grumpy pants that weekend. And and so it was a little bit, but it was actually my favorite of the four from that weekend, even though I wasn't like super high on any of them. Because basically the story of the first one was you have these two people who are trying to get home for Christmas, and one thing after another thing after another thing kind of stops them. I thought that the little stops were charming enough, even though I didn't think there was great chemistry between the two leads. I thought it was pleasant enough, I guess, for this. And so coming into this, I didn't know what to expect, but I think this one is quite different than the first one, quite different. Because the first one was based on a book that was written by Blake Shelton's mom. And then it's based on, the name comes from his, he has a song called Time for You to Come Home for Christmas or whatever. And supposedly Blake Shelton is executive producer of this movie, but I would love to know how much that really means. I bet that... I mean, I doubt that he's on set every day. I think it's probably quite minimal, his executive producing involved with this, but nevertheless. And so this movie, it stars Allison Sweeney, and she plays this woman who has lost her husband. She's a widow, and she is just really struggling with the holidays, as many people do. And then she decides, I'm going to come home for Christmas. It's actually quite brave of her. She's really struggling because everything she sees when she's home just basically breaks her heart. And then she ends up running into this musician played by Lucas Bryant, and they have a surprise connection. What were your overall thoughts about this one?
Well, actually, as you're talking, I'm like, okay, I think I did watch the wrong one. I'm like, oh no.
Because
I have notes for the country singer guy.
Allison Sweeney. Okay, well, that's all right. That can happen. I'll just talk a little bit about it real quick then. So in this movie, she plays a woman who has this tragedy with her husband, and he had been in the army and then had come home and he died in this car accident and is just really struggling. And I thought that Allison did such a good job of really selling that grief. And I think you could feel it in her face. You'd feel it in her emotions. It was very touching. I didn't think that she necessarily had the best chemistry with Lucas Bryant. Like, it was fine, but I thought that she just really sold, like, every time she would look at something and then remember her husband, and you could see it in her face. And she has this son, so she decides to go home for Christmas because she wants to do what's right for her son and for him to have a relationship with his grandmother and everything like that, and her parents. And so she decides to come home, and she thinks that at first that Lucas Bryant is singing for money, like a peddler. And she puts a dollar bill in his coffee cup, and he's like, wait, not doing that. So there's a kind of a cute meet cute. There's a whole conversation between her and her mom where, and her son, she says that happy memories can become sad. And that's really true, that when you're looking back on when you miss somebody, something that was such a happy memory, and you are happy to remember it, but it's also sad because you miss them so much. And that was kind of a theme of the movie. And so it turns out there's this, the whole reason that Lucas's character was coming to the town is because there's this centennial party, centennial thing, the snowball, that there's this band that would play at the snowball. And everybody who's in this centennial band, it got this stopwatch, and there were only 30 of the stopwatches made. Well, it turns out, do you care if I spoil it?
Go for it. I'm taking it all in. I'm imagining it in my mind.
Okay. Well, so he wants to repay the person that helped him at one point in his life, because he was kind of completely messed up after he came back from when he was overseas, and he went to a dark place at the army, and he was saved by a serviceman in this car accident that he was in. And he ends up he wants to say thank you. So he has this, the only thing he has of him is this stopwatch. And so he finally decides that he can kind of face it all. And he goes to this centennial concert and this band. And so he's going to be in the band, and he doesn't realize that the person who saved his life till the very end was Allison's husband, Tyler. And so there's some cute scenes between the two of them. There's a baking scene, which I really liked, where they're baking croissants. And that was something, again, a little different. It's not your normal cookie scene. I thought that was nice, because her mom runs a bakery, and her mom wants Allison to take over the bakery, but she's hesitant to do so because there's just so many memories in that town. And so I thought there were some nice moments between her and her mom. I think it's her mom says, our choices mean something. Nothing is truly random. And that was definitely kind of a theme of it. And there was a nice scene between her and her son where they're looking out at the stars and she's talking about his dad. And I thought that was really sweet. And then she starts encouraging her son to pursue his artistry, and he ends up making a background for the band at the snowball. And you also have a cute ice skating scene. And I thought that they did it really well where, I don't know, it felt like people that didn't really know how to ice skate well, and they were just allowed to kind of be sort of flailing about. And I don't know, it felt more authentic than some ice skating scenes. I appreciated that. And then he realizes, so there's the Christmas ball, the snowball. And so they have a cute scene dancing together, and things are going really well. But then he realizes that what has happened, and that Tyler was the one who saved his life. And so, you know, she's obviously kind of, that's a lot to take in. She's sort of upset by that. She goes to the church, the local church, and then her mom comes, and basically they talk about her, you know, needing to, that Tyler would want her to be happy and have a nice conversation. And she goes back and she tells him, and then they dance at the end, and it was really sweet, and it had a ton of heart. I thought it was a lot better than the first one. I think mostly because Allison Sweeney really delivered. She did a good job. And so I would give this one 4 crowns. So there we go. That's the 4 movies. So we asked on Twitter which one people liked the best. And with 42% of the vote, we have A Christmas Love Story one. So the Hallmark Hall of Fame. And then we have Christmas at Dollywood with 32%. Time for You to Come Home for Christmas is 14%. And Homecoming for the Holidays at 12%. So there we go. And then we have some comments. Our good friend Scott at Waiting in the Pumpkin Patch, he says, I like Time for You to Come Home for Christmas the best. It had 3 meet cutes, an epic snow fort, and a heartwarming storyline between mother and son, as well as the love story. So I agree with that. So then Anne Riddle says, I only watched Homecoming for the Holidays, but I enjoyed it. Again, loved the music aspect. And then Robert Conley says, I can't choose of Hallmark because it's not who's better, but it's the message. Hallmark movies help people deal with sadness, overcome many different emotions, but also it's the message that is love always wins out. There's a person for everyone, so don't be alone. So that's nice. Lauren Eagle says, good weekend overall. Christmas Love Story was my favorite. Kristen Chenoweth and Scott Wolf had good chemistry, and the music was great, and it made me cry. Homecoming for the Holidays was second. I thought Stephen and Laura were great together. Heather says, Homecoming for the Holidays was perfection. Laura Osnes is the real life princess, and family dynamics were amazing. No ridiculous miscommunication and 3 kisses. This is a new favorite. And then Hippie Chick 73 says, I liked Christmas at Dollywood the best because it combined several of my favorite things, such as Dolly Parton, Christmas in Tennessee, Winter in the Smokies, and the Imagination Library. All of those intertwined with the romance made it this Hallmarkie's favorite this past weekend. FJ Thomas says, being from East Tennessee, you know it's got to be Christmas at Dollywood for me. And then last, Will Stamberg says, A Christmas Love Story was my favorite. Great cast and one of the few Hallmark Christmas movies where I never saw the key scene coming. So there we go. That's the thoughts of everybody on Twitter. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back on again. And hopefully you had a good time talking about these fun Hallmark movies.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can people follow you on social media, all that fun stuff?
Well, you can go to meganweyerbacher.com and I got all my links there. You can go to Meg Weyerbacher. I have other ones, but if you just find Meg Weyerbacher, I'm pretty much any of them.
Yeah.
Very you can cool. find me there. So.
All right. Well, we'll have all that in the description section. So make sure you check out Meg all over on her social media. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and everywhere else. and on Rotten Tomatoes. They're going to be putting out a lot of reviews in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you're keeping tabs on that. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. That helps us out a lot as well. Consider becoming a patron of the channel. We have so much fun talking about all of these movies, and we try to do giveaways and exclusives, make it worth your while. All that information will be in the description section. And then we also have our merch store, which you should check out, that has all kinds of things for the Hardys and the Hallmarkies in your life. If you're looking for a Christmas gift, we have some really fun inspired designs and Christmas holiday designs by artist Jessica Miller. So check that out. And it's just a lot of fun, and we look forward to your thoughts. And thanks again, Meg. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.